We present My Music, a musical panel game devised by Edward J. Mason and Tony Schreier. And here to introduce the teams is Steve Race.
Thank you very much. Hello again. As usual, the two competing teams consist of John Amis and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. Blessed as we are with one of the most literate panels in entertainment history, I thought we'd start by identifying some music based on books of various kinds. John Amis, listen to this song.
A law was made a distant moon ago here. July and August cannot be too hot. And there's a legal limit to the snow here in Camelot.
John, according to my calculation, you have about four books to choose from as being some sort of origin for that.
Who would you like? I suppose the most recent is Mort d'Arthur.
Well, not the most recent.
No. Isn't it?
No. The second oldest, I would have thought.
Oh, all right. Well, then there's all those old fellows whom Frank is going to write the names down.
Well, never mind. You know, the immediate origin, really, of Camelot, Frank, do you know?
Cadbury Hill.
Mm. Well, no,
but my favourite is T.H. White.
Yes, that's right, who yeah. I'd had in mind, T.H. White, the Once and Future King, Sword and Stone and so on. Also the original by Geoffrey of Monmouth, I'm assured. Mort d'Arthur, as you said, and of course the Idylls of the King, Tennyson, which is the same subject. You have a mark. Frank, title and author, please, of the story on which this musical is based.
Up, up your daughters, here comes a rake. Lock up your daughters, their chastity's at stake.
Not easy. You might know the author, perhaps, rather than the title.
It was a musical at the Mermaid, wasn't it?
Yes, that's right.
And it was based on a Henry Fielding play.
That's right, Henry Fielding.
Which was called The Justice Caught in His Own Trap.
Well, if it was called...
Rape Upon Rape.
Yes, Rape Upon Rape.
No, but it wasn't called Rape Upon Rape. I was trying to think of what it was originally called. I know where Rape Upon Rape came from, because it wasn't Fielding's title.
How very interesting.
It was called the Coffee House Politician.
Really?
Yeah.
Yes.
I don't know where Rape Upon Rape came from.
Well, Sir Bernard Miles thought he did anyway, but did Fielding the original story, let us say, shall we? And give you the marks.
Yes.
Right. Ian, whose play gave rise to this operetta?
He was terribly unhappy about all that because he prophesied indeed doom and disaster for the musical that was going to be made out of his play. It's rather funny, really, because one of my jobs in life is to introduce excerpts from operetta, and I sit there and I say, people who said in the 1950s that my had forgotten that in 1908
yes, that's right.
There had been a musical of Arms and the Man, when Oscar Strauss had produced this score, and then I always say, but George Bernard Shaw was wrong, and how could he be otherwise in the face of numbers like this?
And then the supplier sings just...
right.
Do you or anybody here on the panel happen to know where the phrase arms and the man comes from?
Comes from the Latin.
Yes. Arma virumque cano, which is the opening line of Virgil's Aeneid.
I'd love to say wrong, but of course you're right. Yes. I sing of arms and the man, yes. Dennis, it's your turn. It seems a bit hard, really, because you just won a mark, I think. Who wrote the novel on which this opera was based?
Strawberry. would help if I knew what the opera was. I think I overreached myself with Virgil. I should have quit when I was ahead, as the Americans say.
You really don't know that.
No.
You recognise that bit, do you?
No.
Well, shall I tell you the particular site, the particular street that person was in when singing?
Yeah.
Catfish Row.
Oh, well, then, yes, thank you. Porgy and Bess.
Yes, and the novel by?
The novel was called Porgy. It was by a man called Jubbo's Hayward, who also wrote the libretto for Porgy.
But you really get your mark for Virgil, don't you?
Yes.
Once or twice in the past, gentlemen, I've asked you to name composers beginning with each successive letter of the alphabet. Once we began with Ian, another time we began with John. This time, to give everyone a change of letters all round, I thought we'd begin, Frank, with you. So starting with A for Frank, the order is going to be Frank, Ian, Dennis, and then John.
Wait a minute.
They're all writing down A-E-I-M-Q-U, Ian, B-F-J, and V.
So Frank starts with A.
Yes.
Right.
So, right, go, Frank, the composer's name beginning with A.
The great Dr. Arne.
Arne, thank you. Right. Ian, B.
Beethoven.
Nicely done. Dennis, C for?
Irving Caesar.
Yes.
Wrote T for two.
Yes, that's right. John, D.
Ditters von Dittersdorf.
Very nice, too. I suppose you want double marks for the Ditters von Dittersdorf. Frank E for?
Spanish composer Elgar.
Nice thought, yeah. Ian F.
César Franck.
Yes, nice. Dennis G.
Another double, George Gershwin.
Yes, that's right. We can't do all doubles.
No.
John H.
Hummel on the Bummel.
Yes. Frank I. Or me, as the case may be. I.
Let's go down to the sea again.
Yes.
John Ireland.
Ireland, good. Or I've sort of done. Ian J.
Janacek.
Yes. Or Gordon Jacob, if you wanted to be nearer home. Dennis K. for?
Jimmy Kennedy.
Yes.
Isle of Capri.
I had Chrysler in mind, but never mind.
Horses for courses.
John L. for?
Leather.
Leuyer.
What?
Leuyer.
Leuyer. How do you spell him?
L-O-E-L-L-I-E-T.
Yes. Yes, lovely, thank you. I had Lecoq, that's right. Frank M.
Mussorgsky.
Yes, thank you. Ian N.
Nikolai.
Yes. Dennis O.
Cy Oliver.
I had down O'Sullivan. Right, P for John.
Well, let's say Palestrina.
Palestrina or Paris, somebody else. Q, Frank.
Roger Quilter.
Thank you. He's the only one I know of for Q or Fan. Ian R for, modesty forbids, but R for...
Oh, yes, of course. What the Italians would call Rache.
If you insist. How nice of you to think of it.
And there's also Rachmaninoff.
Oh, well, there's him too, that's right.
No, definitely a race.
Yes, race, right. Dennis S.
Arthur Schwartz.
Yes. John T.
Tippett.
Yes, or Tosti. That's Frank U.
Well,
I've got four down here. I've never heard of any of them.
Well, it's got to be Engelbert Humperdinck, isn't it?
I'll give you that if John gets an X when his turn comes. Urban, Uber, Ul, Unger, various people there. Ian V.
Vivaldi.
Yes. Dennis W.
Fats Waller.
Yeah. John X.
Xenakis.
Yes, Xenakis.
Very useful composer.
Very particularly in Scrabble.
And that leaves two for the audience. Y for... Any ideas?
Yeah.
This one. Yes, somebody said it. Iradier starts with Y. And Z for?
Zimmerman.
Marvellous, yes. Zimmerman. Also, a 19th century violinist and composer called, though this may surprise some people, Ephraim Zimbalist. This next round concerns a particular composer. John, can you identify him from this?
I think it might be by Gustav Holst.
Yes, Holst it was.
Incidentally, somebody told me they went to a concert of English music the other day and the programme was full of lovely errors and they had the Want of Youth suite by Elgar followed by the Frugal Overture by Gustav Holst.
An advanced concert.
One endearing thing about Holst, I was thinking, is that he dismissed one of his own operas as good old Wagnerian bawling. So the subject is Gustav Holst. Frank, what made Holst take up the trombone?
Well, you can't play it when it's lying on the table. On the other hand, there were whispers from Amy's, some cock and bull story about his fingers were wrong and were not workable.
As always, your first answer is infinitely to be preferred. Yes, he had neuritis in his hands, and it seemed the only possible instrument for him to play.
We just push it and shove it.
Just hold it and push it down and out, you see, yes. Anyway, you certainly get the mark there. Ian, right. John identified the composer. Can you identify the piece? And I can tell you it's ballet music. What is it?
Many years ago, I took part in a performance on the radio of this opera.
Yes, came from an opera.
Called The Perfect Fool. Right. And I felt a perfect fool, I remember, because the thing that I had to sing in this was in 5/4 time, I seem to remember. And I had enormous difficulty in trying to do this. The conductor said, well, either say 1-2-1-2-3 or 1-2-3-1-2, and between those I think I got something sort of by every other bar I was somewhere there. So it was aptly titled, as far as I was concerned, The Perfect Fool.
Perfect Fool gets you the mark, yes. Dennis, who are respectively the bringers of jollity and of old age?
Well, you don't really expect me to know in terms of planet suite.
Yes.
Jupiter and Saturn.
That's right. Yes. Right? Jupiter, good. Jollity, well, Saturn. On to the next round. I'm very fond of Greek popular music, especially when it explores what to us in the West, or this part of the West, are unusual time signatures. So here's a round concerning Greek music, and with the emphasis rather on time. John, what time is this in? How many beats in a bar? Just topping the 300.
Seems to be 8 in the bar.
No, it's not. It's 9.
Oh,
the introduction started as 3-2-2-2, and then when the bouzouki came in, it changed to 2-2-2-3. 1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-1-2-3. Can't give it to you, can I?
No, don't.
Frank, I can hear 5 instruments playing on this next recording. Can you identify?
I can't hear anything at all.
Can you identify, say, 2 of them?
There's a flute or recorder. And there's a guitar.
Yes.
And there's one of those horizontal stringed instruments.
Yes.
A zither,
right.
Or
cymbalum. Cymbalum. You could have even got away with dulcimer, I think, yes. And I just heard another one I hadn't noticed before. There's a tambourine just near the fade there, and a double bass. But you've got the marks because you mentioned there are 2 recorders, actually, in guitar, cymbalum, double bass, tambourine. Ian, this is a rather earthier type of Greek national music. Can you do as John did and tell me what time the music is in?
No.
Give me a number from 1 to 10. Dennis has passed.
Dennis has invented cabaret time.
It's cabaret time, folks. Yeah.
But that's a lovely thought.
As by a strange coincidence, I told you of my difficulties in 5/4 time earlier.
This is a bit worse.
You realise that that would have really defeated me.
Yeah. You don't know, do you?
So no, and I'm not even prepared to volunteer a suggestion.
Anybody in the audience have a shot?
Seven.
Yeah. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Dennis, I'm sure like me you've been in Greek tavernas, if only in London, where they dance far into the night, businessmen with their girlfriends doing a Zorba. But what is the correct name for this dance?
In London with businessmen, it's instant sciatica. or take away sciatica, actually, with most people.
Actually, the fact is, Dennis, in London, the customers don't do it. Only the waiters.
Only the waiters do it.
The customers just look
There's
embarrassed.
There's also one restaurant I won't mention where they invite you to throw the plates.
Yes.
Not telling you at the time that each plate is charged for, as you... I think we could call that, because of the star of Zorba, you call it the Quinzes. I haven't the faintest idea what...
I thought you might know. It's a piece of general... Sataki is the Sataki, the correct title, but nobody...
I ordered that.
On to the next round. Here's one fine violinist paying tribute to another. Itzhak Perlman playing the music of Fritz Kreisler. But, John Amis, there's another composer involved here. Who is he?
Joyce Grenfell has a lovely sketch about a lady visiting the artist room, and on the way she's saying, "Yes, oh, Beethoven's all very well, my dear, but he doesn't pour, does he?"
Pour.
Kreisler has somehow made Beethoven pour.
Yes. Rondino on a theme by Beethoven gets you the mark. Frank, I have an example of this coming up, but meanwhile, what can you tell us about double stopping?
Oh, it's very familiar to music lovers, isn't it?
Yes.
It's when an orchestral piece, an overture or something, when you think it's stopping and it doesn't, it goes da 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 da
da da da A sudden unexpected pause. Do you remember Sir Henry Wood used to say that he was once conducting a promenade concert and there was one of those things with a sudden absolute dead silence and he heard somebody in the audience behind him in the gap say, "We always fry ours in dripping." Well, I propose to accept Frank's definition of double stopping, but just for the record, we'll play you a little example of double stopping. Two strings simultaneously on the violin or other string instrument. Ian.
Willfully.
Yeah, willfully, that's right. Very often out of tune as well, but not in that last occasion. Ian, here's Kreisler's Allegretto in the style of Boccherini. Ian, tell me something about Boccherini for a mark.
Yes. I know there is one piece of his which is in the repertoire, and I can never think... I couldn't tell you what that is, but you can probably play it.
Is it the one that begins...
That's the one. That's the one. So that's one thing about Boccherini. But the only other thing that
I thought you played that very well, actually. For your mark.
The only other thing that I can sort of really think about is that... I always sort of think of him as being a contemporary of Haydn, roughly.
Mm. As a matter of fact, that's very, very good, because he almost exactly coincided with Haydn's dates, yes. He
was a cellist. I don't really know anything else about
it. Wrote a lot of cello music. Uh-huh. Born in Tuscany, 1743 to 1805, Boccherini. Dennis, how do you get this particular effect on the violin?
With difficulty, I
think. always.
As I mentioned before on this program, I did learn the violin for 4 months when I was 11. And then they made me stop, just when they were about to put strings on it.
Double stop.
am I right in thinking that was the E string?
Oh, at the very least, I should think, yes. Yeah.
Have I got something? I don't know. I don't know how you get. I would have called in outside staff, actually, to get that effect.
Ian, you know how that effect is obtained. What's it called?
They're
called harmonics.
Frank.
They're achieved by stroking the string rather delicately with the rosined horsehair.
Yes.
And you have to do something with a finger, too, which is stopping
touch
the note, single stopping, not double stopping.
We touch the string at its nodal point.
That's it, yes.
I think we ought to give, even though it's not their turn, give them a mark for that. For the last round, it's time for what we call the party pieces. This week, they're all old-timers among songs. Old-timers among
singers too.
John, at night time, before slumber's chain has bound you, what does fond memory oft bring? In the key of C.
Change the act.
Oft in the steady night, as slumber's chain has bound, the smiles, the tears of boyhood years, the something, 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 the eyes that shone are dimmed and gone, the cheerful hearts now broken. Oft in the steely night, as slumber's chain has broken,
could have been a king singer if he had the Latin.
Frank, your turn. Under what circumstances would you tell the Pullman porter man, Erlebaum, Erlebaum?
When the midnight choo-choo comes... hang on. I'll go back.
You missed the train there.
Yes. I've got me a good cause. When the midnight choo-choo leaves for Erlebaum, I'll be right there. I got the fare. I'm gonna take that train back again, back where I'm running from. Where's my lamb?
And I shall be right there with bells when that old conductor yells,
Alabam! Alabam! I'm going.
Evening so far.
The intercity was diverted.
Right. Song written, a lot of people don't know this, written by Irving Berlin in 1912. Dennis, from Georgia, a sentimental gentleman seems to be about your period, I think.
What? Revivalist time, yeah. He's a sentimental. I'd do better without you, because I'm only going to do a bit of it. I only know a bit of it. He's a sentimental gentleman from Georgia. Gentle to the ladies all the time. When it comes to loving, he's a real professor. Yes, sir. Some amazing Dixie Valentine. I think that's it. Put it back in there.
Yeah.
It's a good round, Ian. It's up to you, lad.
Ian, bring tune back into fashion.
He's going to bring Haydn Wood's tune back. Ian, Garden of Roses. Loves Garden.
Loves Garden.
Come to my Garden of Roses. Winds whisper low. Never so sweet a garden with love aglow. Laughter and love in the sunshine, joys all divine.
Ne'er was so sweet a garden as Ian was singing, ne'er was so indulgent an audience, part of the show anyway. It's been a victory this week for John Amis and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amis, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis North. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race and the programme was produced by Tony Schreier.